Scripture reading. If you have your Bible, if you please turn with me to John chapter 11, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, see me after church. I'd be more than happy to give you a Bible that you can take and keep for your own. John chapter 11, verse 1. I'm going to ask that when you get there, that you please stand to show reverence for the Word of God this morning as we take time to read the Scripture together. That's the book of John, chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now the reading of the Word of God. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus was now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever believes and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But the Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. We praise God for this portion of his holy word. This is the word of God, amen. You may be seated. Again, we hold the Bible above our heads to show its authority over us in all that we say and do. So, this morning, the shortest verse in the Bible is found in John 11:35, which just plainly says, Jesus wept. The word wept is a past tense of to weep, which means to express grief, sorrow, or any overpowering emotion by shedding of tears, crying. In the Greek, it means to weep quietly. We read in the scriptures at least in two spots where it says that Jesus wept. Before the Passover in Luke 19:41, it says he looked over Jerusalem and he wept. And as we just read in John 11:35, it said as he came to the tomb of Lazarus, as he looked at the people crying, he wept over the death of his close friend. Now there is nothing wrong with weeping or crying. At times the culture tries to tell you, you can't cry, you gotta be tough. But here we see Jesus, the Son of God, full of emotion, weeping. And so we look first in Luke. Luke 19, 41-44, where he is weeping over Jerusalem. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. So here we see Jesus, he wept over Jerusalem. And really what it means is he wept over the people of the city. As he sat on that hill, he wept over the hearts that would reject him as the coming Messiah because they did not recognize the time of God's coming. I think about our community. Think about the community you live in. If you live here in Lansford or Coldale or Summit Hill or Nesquehoning or Tomahawk or Jim Thorpe, think about the community that we live in. Are there times that you have a heaviness of heart that you just want to kind of weep over it? We should. We should have a heart for the people in the community that we live in. Every time we hear of negativity or difficulties that happen, our hearts should weep over the place that God has placed us in. You know, personally, it was one of the things that led me to be a pastor, not just anywhere, but here. Because the Lord gave me a heart for this valley. Going to school in Panther Valley, having friends. Friends who didn't necessarily know the love of God. People not necessarily knowing what the scriptures said, but instead just going on traditions and what has been told to them. God gave me a heart for this valley and the people and the friends of this valley. And so that was part of the reason why I'm here and why God has led me and kept me here. But when you hear of the things that happen in our community, you think about, well, we know how exciting it is to read the Times News or to watch the news on TV, the crime, the drugs, the suicides. Doesn't your heart weep for the people in this community? Does it? Isn't there a time where your heart just breaks because you know of what's going on here, and yet we may feel at times helpless? And of course, as we all know, because we live in the exciting bubble, that everybody always wants to talk about the negative things that are happening instead of the positive things that are going on in our community. And so you can ask the question, well, whose responsibility is it to change it? Is it the responsibility of the people that we elect?
If you haven't figured that out by now, no.
It is our responsibility, the church's responsibility, the light to the world's responsibility. We have been given the power through his word to bring healing to broken hearts, to destroy the bondage of chains of addiction. It is the power of God's word that will only change the community that we live in. Does your heart break for the addicted drugs, those that are addicted to drugs, or the alcoholism who is slowly killing themselves because they haven't found healing in the Lord? What about the old man down the street who waves to you? Does your heart break because he thinks you get to heaven just by being a good person? What about the single mother with 8 kids? Does your heart break because she finds approval in men instead of finding all she needs in Jesus Christ? I dare to say that if you weep over this valley, you're not alone. So does God. It's not enough for us to just shake our head, accept what we have because it is what it is. Instead, we need to understand that we have been called here as a body to reach out to those around us. We have, I don't want to say a saying, because it's not a saying, it's more than that, but especially when I first started here in the church some 14 years ago, we had something that we went by. It's part of our vision, which is to claim the valley for Jesus Christ. That is the only way that healing is going to come to our land. God is calling us as a church to be different. And again, I'm not talking about the building. The building can't do anything. The church is the people. We are all together in it. You're not better than me. I'm not better than you. We're all sinners saved by the blood and grace of Jesus Christ, called to share with others that same grace and love that God has given us. Amen? Amen? God is calling us as a people to be a remnant, to be a light in darkness. Not to blend in with the crowd, but to show the power and healing of Jesus Christ before the crisis. A lot of people come to the church after the crisis has already taken place, or they call me after the crisis has already happened. We need to bring the love and the power of Jesus to the community so they can avoid the crisis altogether. Amen? The second place where we see Jesus, where he wept, was as we read in John 11:34, as he was with his closest, you know, friends, and it just says that Jesus wept. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied, and Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." Here we see Jesus weeping over the passing of a close friend. I don't know if you guys remember, a very close friend who was a very important part of this church, used to play bass with us, John. A couple years younger than me. He was a great friend. And when he went home to be with the Lord, it hurt, it tore my heart. And I wept. I wept all night long and for many weeks afterwards. But I praise God that he had a great relationship with God, so that weeping eventually turned to joy, because I know that, hey, he's with his Lord right now. But how about the close relationships we had with people who don't know Jesus? What about your parents? What about your kids? What about a spouse, grandparents, college roommates? Close relationships that you have where they know about Jesus in their head, but he's missing from their heart. There's a little saying that used to go, heaven and hell is the difference between 12 inches between your brain and your heart. You can know about Jesus in your head. You can even believe in Jesus. Even the demons believe in Jesus. But it's about making him your Lord and your Savior, asking him to come in your life, to turn away from your will and to live according to his will. Do you weep over the fact that they don't know Jesus as their Lord, therefore not having eternal life through the blood of Jesus? Are we afraid to share the gospel? Don't we have the time? We hoping that someone else will do it. As a church, to claim the valley for Christ does not just mean to reach out to strangers, but to begin with those who are close to us. When Jesus got to the tomb, he had them roll away the stone. And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" We may not be raising anyone from physical death, but we need to start raising people from their spiritual death. Jesus' words are just as true and important today. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Do you want to see the glory of God in your life, in the lives of those around you? Now you notice that only Jesus could call the dead to life. Others could remove the stone and others could remove the grave clothing. We need to do our part as we are called to do. And Jesus will do his part in bringing healing and forgiveness and spiritual life back to the spiritually dead. And so as we close this morning, Jesus wept because he loved. You ask the question, do you love? Scripture says, love the Lord with all your heart, strength, and mind, and love others as yourself. Do you want to see the valley revived with the Spirit of God? Not through politicians or police forces or school teachers or programs. If we want to see the true community healed, it will come through the power of God. All we need is Jesus. We need to make sure that we don't keep him to ourselves, but that we are sharing him and proclaiming him the good news. Sure, I'd love to see Lancer back in the heyday, you know, when they always talk about brights. That's what you always hear, brights, brights, and all the exciting things, all the stores and all the people that were around. You know, that'd be awesome to see, but back in those old days. But it's even more important that the people that are here and now living in Lansford and the communities that we live in, that they know who Jesus is and they see him. How he can set them free from their addiction and their bondage and their loneliness and their hopelessness and their sin. And so what are you going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? Simple gospel message as I close here this morning. So, you know, if you're not really sure or you're starting to get a little distracted here or looking out the window here, just at least listen to this last 2 minutes, okay? Simple gospel message is God is a holy God. And because he is holy and because I am sinful, I cannot come into his presence. We're all sinners, just as much of a sinner as you are. We all need a Savior. We've all made mistakes. No one in here is better than anyone else. We're separated from his holiness. We could do nothing about it. I could do all the good works I want. A million good works, if it was by work, good works. What if it was a million and one good works you needed to get into heaven? There is no number. We do good works to glorify God. It does not get us into God's holiness. So we're stuck. So God fixed the problem. He who was without sin, who was perfect, took our place, died on the cross for our sins, paid our penalty. The wrath of God was placed on Jesus. His blood ran. He died. He was placed in a tomb. He rose again, conquering sin and death. And so God says, if you believe in my son who took your place, ask him to be your Lord. That means you're not living for yourself anymore. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. The blood of Jesus Christ will wash over your sins. And so you can now enter into the presence of a holy God, because God no longer sees you and your sins, but Christ's righteousness upon you. That is the gospel message. That's the gospel message. I don't care about how bad your past was. I don't care if you're the most hated person in the world. If you have a change of heart and you seek the Lord with all your heart and you ask him to be your Savior, that blood will cover your sins and you can enter into the presence of a holy God and be saved. That is how we have eternal life. And there are a lot of people that don't understand it. That's what Jesus says. It is not about trying to be a good person. You will never be good enough to be able to cover your sins. Only the blood of Jesus can do it. And so put your words into actions. Put your worship into action. Put your faith into action. Because tomorrow may never come. Let's claim this valley for Jesus Christ and give hope to the hopeless. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your goodness and your power. We pray today, Lord God, whether it's someone sitting here right now, whether it's someone that's going to listen to this message on the radio, whether it's someone that's going to watch it online, on Ustream, whatever it is, Lord God, may the message and the power of Jesus speak to each and every one of our hearts. And if anyone here does not know that if I die tomorrow, I don't know what's going to happen, if they could be assured today by trusting admitting that we're a sinner as we all are, believing Jesus is the Son of God, and he died and rose again, and asking him to come into our life and be our Savior. Father, let us proclaim that gospel in this valley. Let there be less weeping over our community and more rejoicing in the moving of your Spirit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Again, I'd like to thank you for listening to Voice in the Valley. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to come join us on a Sunday morning, we have a church van that can come and pick you up. Just call the church before 9 a.m. on Sunday. The phone number is 570-645-2212. And leave your name and your address and your phone number, and we'll come pick you up. Also, our Thankful Thrift Store is open every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 24 West Ridge Street, Lansford. The phone number is 570-645-9920. So if you get a chance, stop by, come in, say hi, and we have all kinds of things in the Thankful Thrift Store. We hope that you have a great and blessed week.